from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And joining me now is my Memphis Touchdown Club brethren. We have Tyler Siski joining on X at Tyler Siski, CEO of Quick Recruiting, former director of player personnel at Alabama and Ole Miss, also now the host of the McCready Siski podcast. Tyler, what's happening? How are you, man?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
I am doing well. I am doing well. I saw that your podcast co-host is in at SEC Media Days in Dallas.
Yeah, he's down there all week. I actually think he's coming back tonight. But he's been in there most of the week. Been a long week for him. I'm glad he's getting to do it, not me.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Now, holler at me about this because you are the CEO of Quick Recruiting. I want my listeners to know, how many sort of different programs do you deal with in sort of the NCAA, Division One, that type of thing when it comes to the analytics, everything you push out?
About 40 different schools in FBS, and we got a couple of FCS and even a junior college. So pretty much across the board, I kind of do the same thing I've always done, just do it for a bunch of schools instead of one now.
Yeah, now what do you learn behind the scenes dealing with all these coaches and everybody else, all these programs when it comes to the new age, NIL, everything else?
Well, today's issue was roster management. So that's probably the biggest concern now with the new rules. It's not really the NIL. The NIL is kind of what it is.
Right.
It's being able to keep up with the roster numbers with such high turnover with the portal.
Yeah, and is one of the biggest things, like when we look at like the best programs in the country, it's about roster retention, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean if you got good players, you have to keep them. And obviously the larger wallet that you have and the bigger program that you run, you're going to be able to retain them at a higher level. It's the group of five and below that really have a really difficult time maintaining really good players.
Yeah, now here at Memphis, they have not had a whole bunch of trouble with that, and I think that has to do with that FedEx NIL fund. Now, with your experience having relationships with these guys, how much does that $5 million to $7.5 million per year at Memphis mean, mostly earmarked for football, but for the entire program, for the entire athletic department?
Oh, man, that's a gift that keeps on giving, right? I mean, that's an invaluable resource. That would put them, the problem is inflation is real, right? And
yep.
Every single year it goes up. And, when all this started, $5 to $7 million would put you equal just about anybody. You'd probably be top 5%. And as time goes on, that's kind of, I think Memphis is actually, from an NIL perspective, is in better shape than a lot of Power Fives. Are they the top end of that? No. But it definitely makes them competitive and will keep guys from leaving and going just anywhere.
And you also see them they landed a top 10 quarterback recruit for the first time this year. You're starting to see that already pay dividends. It happens quickly. The turnover's quickly. When you get promised that amount of money, I feel like a lot of guys, a lot of recruits around the country start to notice almost immediately.
Oh, ain't no doubt. I mean, I think once you get into that, now we always joke, roster building used to be a 5-year process, then it turned into a 3-year process. When the portal initially hit, it was a 1-year process. Now with immediate eligibility, you're doing a 6-month at a time roster. And I think anytime you can keep your guys, and I think that's going to be, the key to Memphis' success this fall.
So you were a player personnel guy over at Alabama and Ole Miss. It used to be, you said it was 3 and 5 years. Everybody would talk about that four-year class, trying to get those freshmen grown up. That's gone, isn't it? I mean, what's the turnover now? When you're a new coach and you have to get this thing going quickly, what's the amount of years you're allowed? Obviously, I know it's different situations. If you're at, you know, Rutgers versus, you know, UCLA or something like that, it's completely different. But what's the turnover? Like, how quickly do you have to get it going?
Well, I think you got to get it going immediately now. I don't think there is a time frame. I mean, if you don't win out the gate or improve out the gate, you know, there's people already going to be saying, oh, the seat's getting warm. So, you know, I think there's pressure. You know, it's kind of a catch-22. The pressure is to win now. Well, the only way to do that is to be very active in the portal. Well, that's if you live out of the portal, you're going to have success, but you're also going to have, you know, highs and lows, because it's just not realistic to hit out of the portal every single year. You're going to have misses, and the misses with a portal guy, is twice as bad as missing on a high school kid.
Yeah. Now holler at me about this. SEC Media Day is rolling along right now. Do you have a top five finishers for me in the SEC, or at least something that resembles that?
Yeah, I mean, top five. I think, you know, I just look at rosters and talent, what they have coming back. I think Georgia and Texas are kind of in the class by themselves. Mm-hmm. If you just made me pick, that's what I would, you know, go with. And I think you have a group right underneath there that I think you're going to have, you know, between Ole Miss, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M, LSU, all those teams are talented enough to be right up there, you know, compete for an SEC championship, and then you can't leave out Missouri. I mean, the schedule they have, you know, if they're just similar to what they were last year with the schedule, they'll be in the playoff contention as well.
But seemingly Mizzou, this is the one thing. I know their schedule is relatively cake compared to most SEC programs, but they lost a lot. I mean, we're talking about two starting corners, a starting linebacker, starting safety, starting DN, Darius Robinson, running was back, taken in the first round, running back who led the SEC in rushing. I understand that schedule is very easy, but that is a lot to lose and replenish. There's a lot of programs that historically have been able to replenish that quickly. Mizzou's not one of them.
Yeah, I think they've been doing a really good job, particularly in the last few years, in recruiting. So I think they've built a really good base. You know, they have the best NIL laws in the SEC. You know, they have probably the best NIL laws in the state of Missouri, and it's a state with one institution, right? So they have the best NIL laws that exist, where they can actually pay the kids before they get there. So there's a lot of advantages they have there that's helped them build their roster. And I think just with the schedule alone, they probably have the best opportunity. And I think it's just one of those weird years where you're going to have, you know, they could have a better record and be in the college football playoff discussion, but not be as good of a team as somebody that's, you know, 7-5 rating poor.
Yeah. Now, I know they have state laws that allow them to get recruiting done and NIL money to be handed out if a guy in state commits to them. How do we get this all on the same page? How do we get all this nonsense on the same page? That is a ridiculous advantage that only they get to take advantage of. And it's crazy to me that we are completely we're in different realms in every single state.
Well, that's, you know, and the fans have probably heard it. That's the reason that they've been trying to go to Congress for however long they've been trying to go to, because they're wanting everybody to at least play under the same window, right? Play under the same rules. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't mean to make this about politics, but good luck with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, trying to get everybody on the same page, you know, good luck with that, especially in the election year. So I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. You'll have to get through this election cycle. Maybe the new House, the new Senate, maybe they'll get something done. But there's nothing going to get done anytime soon.
Yeah. Now, holler at me about Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss and Tennessee fall in the same category for me, where offensively, I really feel like they have it all set out every single year. You have offensive coaches that run this pace and you know, really find a way to put points on the board every single year against all their opponents for the most part. But what happens with those two programs in particular, they play this fast pace, and then defensively, regardless regardless of what they've done in recruiting and the talent they have on that side of the ball, it feels like they seem to fall back because of that offensive pace. I mean, where do you fall on that? Do you think Ole Miss can bridge that gap this year and really get themselves into that college football playoff conversation?
You know, I think Ole Miss and Tennessee, I agree, they're in some similar conversations, but probably a little bit different for me. I think there are two teams that you immediately, if I say Tennessee or I say Ole Miss, you immediately think of offensive firepower. I think they're both going to be really good on defense this year.
Okay.
Ole Miss, they have a ton of starters come back, but they've also added key pieces, you know, with
Walter
Prince
Nolan.
And Walter Nolan and those guys. They've added key pieces of depth and those guys, case of starters, but and the guys that you had starting last year are not going to be depth. They've created depth. Both teams are, I think, going to be really good on defense. Ole Miss is probably as deep as they've been in a long, long time. And they got SEC bodies for the first time, you know, across the board. You know, you've had SEC bodies, but I think, you know, in the fourth quarter, those small guys are going to slow down. Those big guys are still going to be big. So the length and size that Ole Miss has added, especially up front on the defensive side of the ball, is going to allow them, I think, to make a run.
So you're right there with one of your former bosses. I was hearing Nick Saban talk about Ole Miss the other day, and he said he actually feels like this is the year they can compete in the trenches with the Georgias and Alabamas of the world. I still have my doubts and my questions about that, but I understand the thought process behind it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have their doubts until you show them, right? You know,
right.
I just see it for what it is. Now, they still have to go play the games and all that stuff, but it's from a, you know, people, and you played the game, so you particularly
right.
played up front, so you understand it. You know, the game up front is played with arm length. I mean, if you have, that's why you don't have, you know, 31-inch armed offensive linemen. You could be the best high school offensive lineman in America, but if you got 31, 32-inch arms, you're not going to do well in college and in this league. And I think they went and got the length along with the players that's really going to help them up front, especially on defense. You know, you take these guys that are long and athletic, and all of a sudden, you know, you can spill things better. You can do more. You can get more up front with your rush, with your four-man rush or simulated pressures. You can do things and get to the quarterback and be able to play coverage behind it without having to bring an extra body and play, you know, cover zero every time.
Yeah, and you're not lying a bit. My 32-and-a-quarter-inch arms what kept me from being a pro. I'll tell you that right now. That's what held me back.
Hey, well, me too, brother. I got short arms. But, you know, it's really a fact. You know, you go and, you know, when you look at in recruiting, and, you know, some, what I do for a living, but you're going to know this, there's guys every year that are, you know, these hyped-up recruits that are unbelievable high school players, you know, especially on the offensive line. And, you know, I don't want to mention the kid's name, but I remember, you know, several years ago, there was a 5-star offensive lineman out of the state of Tennessee. And, you know, I was at Alabama at the time, and we were recruiting him, and he shows up, and he's got, you know, like 31-inch arms. And the guy was like 6'5 and a half with 31-inch arms. And I was like, that's not going to fly. And sure enough, he ends up, you know, he played in the SEC, but he was never a player. You know what I mean? He always had issues, and you have to have length. And then, you know, on the other side is, if you look at like when I was at Alabama, we had Chance Womack, right?
Yeah.
Guy's a first-round pick. But he was a 6'1 offensive lineman. Everybody's like, oh, 6'1 can't play. Well, they can if they have 35.5-inch arms. And so when you're measuring height and all that stuff, you don't really look at height, you look at arm length. And not wingspan, arm length, because the game is played, you know, played ahead.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. Now, I'm curious, you have another former boss in Hugh Freeze. What do we think about Auburn? It feels like they're going under the radar. We're not really talking about them all that much. They had the quarterback conversation this offseason. Ends up sticking with Peyton Thorne right there. What do you think about Auburn heading into this year?
I think they're going to be better. I do. You know, the whole how good are they going to be is, you know, probably two things. One, and probably the most important thing is, you know, Peyton Thorne in the second year of offense. How does he run the offense? You know, I believe I talked about this when I talked to the Memphis
sure.
quarterback club is, you know, decision-making, he has to get them in the right plays and me understanding the offense. I saw several plays, particularly in the running game, where he got them in the wrong play. So he's got to get them in the right play, and he's got to, you know, be the leader of the offense and make the right decisions and keep the offense on schedule. He's got to improve in that in year two. That's a mandatory, right?
Yep.
I do understand why Hugh did not address that in the offseason because, of, you know, that's one of the catch-22s of the portal, right? So if he goes and goes and gets another portal quarterback, he's going to end up losing three to game one. So, you know, he had to, you know, win the war, not the battle kind of deal.
Yeah, and you said it wasn't a bankroll problem at all.
No, not a bankroll problem at all. It was a losing, you know, you would have to redo your whole room, and he likes some of those young guys. And so, you know, I think he's trying to bridge the gap there. I think if it was another problem next year, I think he would go ahead and do it, but it was not the time to do it, especially when they're building the other, you know, he's in year two of a rebuild. And I think they've done a phenomenal job recruiting us and addressing some situations, particularly at wide receiver position. They'll be better pretty much across the board, you know, quarterbacks to be seen. But they're going to be better at every single position across the board, you know, probably minus the quarterback. But, again, he doesn't have to be a great player. Just make the right decisions. And the second thing with Auburn, I think, is they have to start the year right. You know, they get a situation where, you know, first four games of the season, arguably their toughest opponents, Arkansas. If they can find a way to get at home in that fifth game of the year hosting Oklahoma, that place will be crazy. It'll be Oklahoma's first SEC road game. And if somehow, some way, they can figure out how to get out of the Oklahoma game 5-0, now I think you're talking about a real season. So it'll be interesting to see how they start the season.
Now, holler at me about, and you can spare some details, holler at me about your experience being a part of that football program, being a director of player personnel at Ole Miss at that time when everything seemingly spiraled a little bit out of control. Can you take me behind the curtain there a little bit?
Well, when I was here, we were not spiraling out of control. I was only here the first year. So
okay. With, so that there you go. Yeah, there you was, go. Yeah, you can wipe was, the, was, wipe those hands clean. I like that.
Yeah, I wasn't there, boss. I was there I left right after we signed the 2013 class and went to Alabama. I came back with Matt Luke after he was named the permanent head coach, but I wasn't there at the end of the Hugh Freeze era.
I got you. But still, how was it with Matt Luke? That was an interesting era considering all that y'all were coming off of at that moment.
Yeah, it was a tough situation in a lot of aspects because, you know, you're having to deal. Probably the hardest thing was dealing with going through probably, I don't know, probably 90% of the recruiting year under restrictions. And yep. So it didn't really limit us in recruiting. It hurt us, I guess, trying to get, you know, kids were scared to really come on board for a long time because they were worried about what was coming, right? And what, you know, if the appeal did not, you know, if we did not win the appeal. And so it puts you kind of behind the eight ball a little bit in recruiting. You know, I was on there one class. So, I felt like we addressed, and a lot of those kids, you know, every one of those kids, they end up going and you know, we're part of a great, you know, a great season, you know, 2 years after that and kind of built what they're doing now. And it was just, like I said, just the one class in 2019, but a little difficult as far as that's concerned. And, you know, trying to basically the roster, it was a full rebuild.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, the sanctions did hit, and I think there were seven starters. You may have to fact check me on that. I think that was my memory. But there were seven starters that were on that team that got a free transfer. There was a lot of stuff that happened there NCAA-wise that kind of put us behind the eight ball. But, you know, it's part of the business. You know what you signed up for, and
yep.
It is what it is.
Talking with Tyler Siski at Tyler Siski on X, one of two co-hosts for the McCready-Siski podcast. Now, Matt Luke, I have always had a whole bunch of respect for him. He's now at Clemson. Interesting landing spot for him. They're trying to get that offense really up and running. But I always say this, like when it comes to offensive line coaching, is there anybody better in the country right now in college football than Matt Luke?
He's as good as they come, brother. I mean, you know, obviously I'm biased because he's one of my really good friends. But so you have to take what I say for a grain of salt, obviously. But, you know, he's the best I've worked with. And, you know, obviously he's thought highly of. You know, he goes to
– sure.
He's been at Georgia, and now he's at Clemson, and, you know, they got a good group there, and they're getting better, and I'll be excited to see how they do this fall.
Now, that's the real question, though, right? Like, what are they going to do this fall, Clemson? I think there's been a little bit of a fall-off since the Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson era, and he's, you know, Dabo is not going into the transfer portal even remotely. I mean, his quote was, we do have transfers. We have gone to the transfer portal. They're just coming from high school. They're high school transfers. So that's his thought process on the whole thing. Can you win at a high level doing what he's doing?
Yeah. Because there's other teams that are, you know, you look at the teams that are winning the national championships and winning the big prize. That's exactly what they are doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we haven't had anyone win the big prize that hasn't been heavy high school. Now, does that say they don't take any transfers? Sure, some people do take transfers and they take one or two, but nobody that's winning the big prizes is going full portal. You know, that's how we're doing it. That's what's so interesting to me about, you know, Ole Miss. I think they're talented enough to do it, right? But to this point, no one's actually done it and actually won it. Now, Ole Miss is plenty of capable enough to do it. You know, they have a team that's good enough to do it, and that's what's interesting to me. But from Clemson's standpoint, you know, and just like the two guys you mentioned Deshaun Watson, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, right? Well, what position do they play? They play quarterback. And that's what's going to determine, and that's what has determined where Clemson has been. Again, they haven't fallen. We compare them to what they were, right? They won championships and all that stuff. They haven't fallen. I mean, it's not like they've stunk, right?
Right.
They won, what, 10 games every year?
Still win 10 games a year, yeah.
And so it's not like they've been terrible. But they're going to go as far as Kate Klubnik can take them.
Yeah.
And that position. And, you know, I don't know if they've – I don't think they've really fallen off in the recruiting part. Now, they're – it's just the quarterback position is not Deshaun Watson, who was a first-round pick, or Trevor Lawrence, who was the first pick, right? And so they haven't. There's been a fall off at that position, but that's one of 22. But you know, unfortunately, that is the most important position.
But
they'll go as far as he can take them.
Also, isn't there an argument? I mean, not just with quarterback. I feel like the skill positions have fallen off really relatively big. I mean, you look at like they used to have T. Higgins and guys like that, Justin Ross, like they don't really have those guys in the wide receiver room either.
Well, they also haven't had the opportunities to make the plays, right? I mean, I get what you're saying, but that's all. I don't know, you know, I don't think they've fallen off there as much as everybody thinks. It's just what you, and I get it, it's what you see on TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's name recognition, it's
right.
Knowing what's on TV, but there's only one way to get name recognition, and that's to score touchdowns. And if you don't have the guy, they're open.
Quarterback has to get you the ball.
Get up to them, it doesn't really matter, right?
No, I hear you.
It's not really, from a talent perspective, I mean, they're still getting guys. I mean, they're still there. They got to get, if Klubnik has a good year, I think you'll go, oh, man, he's pretty good at receiver. I think you'll start seeing that.
How much parity do you think we have at the top of the sport? That's interesting, because I think there's this group of Texas, Georgia, Ohio State that everyone's just crowning. These are the three teams that we feel like can really
don't
get it done
Oregon.
This year. I guess Oregon, yeah, we could put Oregon there as well. But how much actual parity do you think we have at the top of the sport going into this season?
I think there's more. I don't think there's enough, but I think there's more. You know, now that I'm not coaching, I like to have more parity, right?
Right.
But, you know, I think where you're seeing the parity come in the depth, right? You know, even going back and really before the portal, you were able to, you know, quote unquote stack talent, and you could have, you know, you could build depth. It's just very difficult to build depth now at the big schools. And now your guys, you know, they're wanting to play. So they're leaving and going to the Utahs, and they're going to these places, to play, and you're not able to build depth like you used to. And I think that's probably creating some parity. With that being said, the one interesting thing that I found in my what I do for work, and this, you know, especially with this last window, what's going on, is in the portal in the past, you had a lot more, you know, impact guys leave. Now everybody's just trading backups. So I'm interested to see what the parity looks like this year. I do think there is, you know, I think there is an avenue to where the SEC's got, is especially adding Texas and Oklahoma. I think the SEC has got to where, you know, you got 7, 8, 9 teams that if I told you were in the SEC championship game, you probably wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
And especially, obviously, with the schedule. So I think there's more parity, still not enough, though.
Yeah. Now, final thing for Tyler Siski, at Tyler Siski on X, CEO of Quick Recruiting, former director of player personnel at Alabama and Ole Miss, and co-host, of the McCready-Siski podcast. How do you feel about the 12-team college football playoff that we are now going to see for the first time going into this season? I think there's some people that think it will nullify some of those end-of-the-year games because there's some teams that will know they're ultimately in. It's just about seeding at that point. I mean, where do you fall in this conversation? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Are you somewhere in the middle?
Oh, I like it. I'm for it. I'm for, you know, there's playoffs in every sport, right? College football is like the last sport in America that doesn't have playoffs. So I love, you know, look, this is America, man. We love brackets, right?
Yep.
And so I'm for it. I'm all about the playoff. I'm interested to see the impacts of it, right? So I think you're going to see, you know, the games you care about, which are going to be those 12 teams and those games that take place, the 11 games that take place in the playoffs, you're going to see less opt-outs in the big games. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to opt out if your team's in the playoffs. So I think it's helped that. Now, with that being said, you're going to see crazy opt-outs in the other bowl games.
Of course.
And so, you know, that part's probably going to be, I mean, that would be a, you know, if there's any NFL prospect on a team that doesn't make the playoffs, I would be shocked if they play. So you're probably going to see heavier opt-outs in the other bowl games. I think you're going to see less opt-outs in the games that matter. You know, and then here we are, we're in a bracket, we're in 12 teams. And just like every other year, you know, last year and the last 10 years, you've been like, it's been an argument over that who's the fifth place and sixth place team we're going to argue they should be in. Now it's just going to be team 13 and 14, right? So it doesn't matter how many, it's the same thing in March Madness. I mean, we actually have an entire market on ESPN about, you know, about bubble watch, you know, and, yep. And we're talking about bubbles between who's the team 69 through 72. So it doesn't matter how many you put in there. People are going to complain and are going to argue about who should be in and who shouldn't. But, you know, with the parity discussion, kind of tying those two together, you know, there is less parity, obviously, in college football than there is in college basketball. So, you know, is there going to be a big, you know, to-do about who is supposed to be in it, you know, the 13th team in when they have no chance of really winning it?
Yeah, the one thing you did bring up, though, that definitely rings true is the disintegration to a certain extent of bowl season in general outside of the college football playoff. I wonder what can be done to sort of alleviate all those opt-outs. I mean, like, the one thing that gets brought up is money, because that's what everybody seems to be chasing. But at the same time, if you have these big NFL prospects that are in those games, are they really going to care about that money for that one game? Probably not.
Yeah, big NFL prospects, no, but, you know, if – I don't, you know, unless the, again, I've heard collectives, you know, trying to add it in, bowl games trying to add in incentives to play. That's probably the only thing you can do. But, you know, kind of is what it is. But, and really the NFL, and here's the other thing. The only other thing you can do, and I don't know if, you know, if they can talk a big game, but actually does it matter? Until the NFL and the people who are actually drafting the kids, until they care if they opt out or not, it's not going to matter.
Yep. For sure. Well, Tyler, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. Let's do this again soon. This was fun.
You bet. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. That's Tyler Siski at Tyler Siski on X, CEO of Quick Recruiting. Also, the former director of player personnel at Alabama and Ole Miss. And one part of the two, he is a co-host for the McCready Siski podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.